Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I have, as promised, I have Stephen D. Miller on the line with me. Say hello to everybody, Steve.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, let me adjust your volume. Why don't you start out by telling everyone a little bit about yourself and what your website contact information is.
All right. I've been living without a social security number all of this century, although I originally had one. And it's difficult to buy and sell without a social security number. Originally, back in 1999 and 2000, I had a essay called Social Security Mark of the Beast, and it was on the internet for a couple of years, and then I took it off the internet, and other people had copied it, and it became very popular.
Yeah, that was it. Was so, on Family Guardian too.
Now it's on Family Guardian.
Right.
I think older editions are still on other websites.
Okay, well.
And
go ahead.
Recently, I've been writing books and researching on other topics. So I have books on oaths and citizens' rights to complain and identification credentials and some other ones. And I have those books published on Smashwords, which is ebook editions.
And let's see, you have those also offered on notfooledbygovernment.com.
Yes, that's my website, notfooledbygovernment.com. You can contact me from that website.
Okay, so back in the 90s, so you aren't alone. I've operated without a social security number since the mid-90s myself, and it's become more and more difficult as they continue to tie more and more things to having it. There's a couple of us out here, but there aren't too many. Hopefully the number will start to grow here exponentially. Now the Social Security number, I can always argue, is at least a mark of a beast, if it is not the mark of the beast of the scripture. It is at least a precursor or something that will evolve into it. What do you think about that?
Oh, definitely. We could probably have a show just on people calling in with their top 50 proofs that the Social Security number can't possibly be the mark of the beast, and we'd be able to rebut all of their presumptions.
Okay, well, I did have a few questions that people posted in anticipation of you coming on the broadcast. Okay, is the Social Security number mandatory?
No.
She says it wasn't in the beginning, but is it now?
No, it's never been mandatory.
That's the question.
It cannot be mandatory. It changes your citizenship. You're not forced to change your citizenship. You're not forced to have allegiance. You're not forced to take advantage of laws that are only written for people to take care of you. It's only available to people who can't take care of themselves.
Okay, so in other words, you have to declare yourself incompetent.
Yes.
To have a Social Security number. As a matter of fact, that's what the Social Security contract. Now, a lot of people are fooled. You know,
of course, they are.
Most young people today never did sign up for a Social Security number. Their parents had them enumerated at birth.
Yes.
So what happens in a case like that where you're enumerated at birth, but then you discover that you don't want to be incompetent and you want to fend for your own welfare rather than being a welfare slave, or however you want to put it. What do you do then?
Well, when you turn 18, you have 20 days to rescind all your previous contracts.
Okay, but what if you didn't know?
Well, you're stuck like the rest of us.
Who's the rest of us?
Those that have had numbers.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought it was from the, you had so much time from the discovery.
Well, you can rescind your contract and predate it now for then.
Okay, but from the, it's like in a damage lawsuit, you have so many days from the discovery of the tort in order to file a case for a claim against it. You can't say, well, I was damaged and I knew it, but I didn't do anything for 10 years about it. I mean, there is a certain amount of time. Where did you get the, what did you say, 15 days after your 18th birthday? Where did you get that from?
That's in, it's 20 days in the state that I'm in.
Oh, in the state that you're in. But isn't this a federal?
Yes.
So if you discover...
Well, I haven't really looked at those laws, but...
Yeah, because it seems like... go ahead.
Yeah, when you come of age, you can rescind your prior contracts except for contracts for necessities. If you had a contract for groceries, for example, that you made when you were 17, you'd still have to pay for that. Your contracts for necessities of life cannot be rescinded.
Well, you aren't of age at 17 to contract, are you?
You can buy groceries for sure.
Well, you don't need a contract to buy groceries. I mean, I'm just trying to nail down where the law is and what it actually states, and would it apply to, say, someone like me, who discovered in his 40s that this thing was going on, that he was tricked, or someone actually applied for me when I was an adolescent, and I didn't discover until my 40s that, you know, I wanted no part of this. I thought it was mandatory, and that was the question that was asked by Naughty Pines in the chat room, is that people think that it's mandatory, and that's what I thought too. Because I didn't, when I became of age at 18 or 19 or whenever, and I went out to get a job, they told me, well, you have to have a social security number to get this job. So I didn't apply for a number, I applied to find out what my number was. Because someone had already applied and enrolled me into that system. So I found out what my number was so that I could work. And I thought it was mandatory that everyone have one. What happens if the 20 days passes and then you discover that you don't want it?
Well, I'm not a lawyer.
Well, I just thought maybe you knew about that law, if there was some kind of provision there. Okay, well, let me ask you another question. Let me put it another way for you, Stephen. What about repentance? Let's say I repent of participating and use in that numbering system. What do I stand on then?
You can repent. I repented.
Yeah.
I turned my card in and... I turned my card in. I offered to pay all benefits I might have received, and I stopped using it.
Okay. Well, most people pay in benefits but don't receive anything. But so you told them that I don't want your number anymore, or something like that?
Yes. I turned my card in, and they sent it right back to me and told me I'm doing this all wrong. I have to fill out a revised application for a social security number to change any to revise my application. And so I filled out another application, sent my card back in saying I don't want it. And then they sent that back to me with the card again and said, we need proof of who you are. These are the forms of IDs that we will accept, and they only wanted IDs that you can get with a Social Security number. So I sent my card in to the Social Security Inspector General in Baltimore, along with a complaint letter, and I never heard anything since then.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it was no avail actually sending the card back. It got you nowhere with them.
Yeah.
So really the most important thing is to repent of any participation and use of that system, because it is, you know, unlawful according to God's law. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Your covetous practices will make merchandise of you and will curse your children.
Yeah, that seems to be the way of it. Now,
one thing I wanted to point out here is that the Social Security Act, Section 205C2BI, that's Roman numeral little I, 2, requires applicants for Social Security number to be, quote, an applicant for or recipient of benefits under any program financed in whole or in part by federal funds, unquote.
Ah.
So you have to qualify to receive federal Treasury money. And there's nothing in the Constitution that allows money to be given out to individuals. So you have to be totally destitute to become a ward of the government.
Either that or you have to be an employee of the government, don't you? Aren't all everyone with a Social Security or a employee identification number, aren't they in fact legally government employees?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think they're government wards, at least.
Okay.
And one important case that you can look up is David Allen Carmichael. He worked for the U.S. Navy, and he was able to work for them without a Social Security.
Interesting. So he was in the Navy without a Social Security number.
Yes, I have an essay on my website. I have a lot of essays on my website. You go to notfooledbygovernment.com. I got my books posted there. A little ads for my books at the top of the page. But if you scroll down, there's a lot of essays I've written.
Okay, I'm there right now.
Some of them are related to Social Security. And one of the essays is, from whom do the kings of the earth exact tribute? If you read through somewhere in there, I've got a link to the David Allen Carmichael case. And I've also posted on the website the Bruce Hansen determination by the Equal Opportunity Employment EEOC Commission, where they determined that he didn't need a Social Security number to work.
Was that the Taco Bell case?
No.
That was a different one.
I think I have, I might have that Taco Bell case on that website also.
The Mark of the Beast.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. What does the Social Security number have to do with the Mark of the Beast? How do you tie those together? And what would you, what do you think is necessary for true Bible-believing Christians to do about it, if anything?
Well, we can go down through Revelation 13, It's not the, there's two beasts in Revelation 13, one that came up out of the sea, and then another one.
It comes up out of the earth, yeah.
That comes up out of the earth. And Revelation 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon.
Right.
And he exerciseth all of the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And it's the second, right there in Revelation 13:12, the first beast is called the first beast.
Right.
So the second beast is the one that issues the mark.
Yeah. And who do you think the second beast is?
Well, it's hard to tell, but I want people to think along the lines of the Bar Association.
The Bar Association?
Well, here in America, there are tentacles in all branches of government which are causing you to worship the first beast. I don't have absolute proof, but there's certainly a group that has tentacles everywhere should be suspicious.
Yeah. Well, I've done quite a bit of extensive study in the Revelation and in Daniel, and a beast is definitely a government.
Yes, three places in the Bible, the angels tell us that beasts symbolize government.
Right. And so the beast...
Okay, kingdoms.
So the second beast, which is the last beast that's mentioned, the second beast of Revelation 13, this earth beast, is the very last beast that's mentioned. So it has to be number 7 of the beasts that are enumerated in chapter 17 of the Revelation. And I personally believe that America is the last beast. And it would make sense that America creates an image, and I believe that the image is the United Nations, because it's an image of the Roman Empire, a world-governing body. And that's what it is. It's an image of a government, which is created by the second beast of the first beast. And, of course, they worship the image and they receive the mark to buy or sell or trade. And it requires everyone. It says it causes all. And all is pretty all-encompassing. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. Just in case you didn't know who all was, to receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads. And so we know what this mark is for. It's not for Sunday worship. It's that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or some other permission from the beast, the number of his name, etc., in order to buy or sell. So this mark of a beast is the Social Security number. I believe it began in America, the second beast power. I think the cause began here, because it says he causes all, and now it's spread to every nation on the earth. So it's a good indication that we're going to have some, and right now in America, as you know, as the question was asked, is it mandatory? And the answer is no. And people still don't believe me when I tell them that it's not required. You don't have to have a Social Security number. There's no law that requires you to have a Social Security number. So anything else that requires a Social Security number is also voluntary, like a driver's license. Because I used to have a driver's license, and when they said 10, 15 years ago, they said, well, now, in order to renew your driver's license, you have to have a Social Security number. And I said, well, no, thank you. And I discovered, well, I don't need a driver's license either, because, you know, I'm not a driver. And So didn't need that privilege either, and I find out all of these things are privileges or private law matters between you and whoever you're contracting with, and they're not mandatory, like a Social Security number.
Yes, I like to point out that a forced signature is not a signature at all. A forced signature is a crime.
That is true. So is there a time coming where they will try to force you with coercion? Perhaps like the Inquisitions of old, where they would try to force you to recant your faith, but they wouldn't make you, they just kill you.
Well,
you think that time's
possible.
Coming for the mark of the beast, the monetary mark? Do you see that time coming?
It perhaps might already be here. Recently in Syria, there a couple of years ago, they had the kneel or starve policy where Christians were told to submit and and kneel or starve. And I see that that's already here. My local food bank here has a sign on the door saying that they want photo ID and they want proof of your address. So how can you get people who donate to their food bank certainly don't think they're going to be denying food to the food donations, denying the homeless and denying those that refuse to worship.
Okay, well, we'll pick up right here when we get back. We're going to take a short break here, Stephen. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded. It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
You're listening to Cross Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition, trying to wake up the elect out there to the reality of where we are in prophecy. And we are near the end, but it's not a futurist fantasy like you read about in your Left Behind books. We have real prophecy to deal with. And all of the calamity of the book of Revelation is not going to ensue in a mere 7 or 3.5 year period at the end of time, as the Jesuit Ribera proposed in his counter-reformation scheme of eschatology. But most of the revelation has already played out in history. So you can breathe a little sigh of relief there that the period of time to come is not going to be full of the calamity that has actually played out over the last 1800 years. Believe me, there's plenty of calamity for a time without adding the entire book of Revelation to it. To learn more about that, get my latest book at my website there, When the Third Temple is Built, and find out exactly what will happen when they start building a third temple. And if you're a rapture believer, you'll find out why you are not being raptured. Yeah. And you will not be raptured. Resurrection will happen, but it will not happen on the 7-year tribulation deception time scale or time frame or whatever you want to call it. It will happen on God's calendar in His time. Okay, if anyone has any questions, post them in the chat room, or actually you can call in. I don't know if I'm wired that he can hear you, but if he can't hear you, I'll repeat your question. So if you want to ask Stephen a question, go ahead and call in, like I said, or post that question in the chat room there, and perhaps maybe I can actually put a link. I'll put a link into the chat room to his website there right now, so we don't have to worry about that later. So there it is, notfooledbygovernment.com. So take advantage of the resources there, and you'll learn things that you should have learned in public school about law. You ever wonder why in public school they don't have, you know, right up there with math and English and history, they should have law. Everyone should learn law. You'd think they'd want law-abiding citizens so that they would teach you the law. But no, they don't want law-abiding citizens. They want stupid citizens that don't understand the law, so they can roll them over and induce them into implied contracts, misinformation, deceit, into giving up all of their rights to the government and becoming good little slaves on the government plantation there. Okay.
I'd like to briefly talk about numbers for children.
Go ahead. Tell us all about it.
All right. I never got my son a Social Security number, and he was able to get a driver's license without a number. They actually have a form for that. You have to swear out an affidavit that you've never had a number, and then you can get a driver's license. And I'd like to talk about the enumeration at birth law.
Okay.
Back in 1994, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, GATT, General Agreement on Tariff and Trade, had that year the agreement negotiations were in Uruguay. So when our statesmen agreed to these this treaty, it was implemented in a law passed by Congress called the Uruguay Round Agreements Act, which became Public Law 103-465. It appears that the rest of the world wants to track their collateral for their debt, but it's not mandatory. And the Social Security Administration has published a brochure, Social Security Administration brochure 05-10023, entitled Social Security Numbers for Children. And okay, it states, must my baby have a Social Security number now? No. Getting a Social Security number for your baby is strictly voluntary. You won't get a number unless you ask for one when you provide the information on your baby's birth certificate. So that nowadays the word voluntary is just in regular case. But back a few years ago, they had the word voluntary in bold letters. Getting a number for your baby is strictly voluntary. And okay, voluntary in bold letters.
Okay, so it's not required then for anyone
to... Yes, it's still not required.
Okay, well, that's good to know, and that's the law I'm standing on right now. I'm afraid that someday it will be coerced by law, yeah, as it has in the past. not Social Security number in the past, but now that's the final mode, as we read from chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, that all are going to be required. So that time is coming where it will be, well, a little bit more than voluntary. They will coerce you to volunteer or die, even as you said that some people are coerced to recant their faith or die even today. So the Inquisitions still go on, but, you know, maybe not the way they did during past Inquisitions, but the time is coming where there will be some kind of Mark of the Beast Inquisition. Now, back in the 90s, I did get a passport without a Social Security number. And I don't remember, I think I had to, I don't even remember if I gave an affidavit for that. They just put all zeros in the line there.
Yes, I also did the same thing.
Okay.
I filled it in with all zeros, and no affidavit was required. Nobody challenged me. I did fail to sign the document.
Yeah, when they sent me the document, the passport, it says not valid until signed.
Yes, but I didn't sign mine.
Oh, the application?
No, the passport.
Oh, yeah. And I did sign mine, and I put in, I wrote above my signature, all rights reserved. So, to let them know that I wasn't volunteering any of my rights away by signing it. So, have you got your passport renewed since then?
No, I dropped out of the system.
Ah, so
I have fallen through the cracks. Yes, I let everything expire.
Yeah. Same.
Driver's license expired. Passport expired.
Same with me, except I can't get on a plane.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, but.
Or a bus or a train anymore.
Yeah, I got Michael here in the studio with me. And he got on a train and a bus without it. So I guess you can. Or you can drive your own private automobile. Do you have a private automobile?
Yes, but it's not working now.
Oh.
I'm tearing apart the engine trying to fix it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about not is operating outside the Mark of the Beast identification system is it's difficult to have money and to acquire.
Yes, well, the number's coerced, at least as a work, as a wage authorization number and as a banking authorization number.
Right. So why would anyone want to do this?
Oh, I should have took the red pill, or the blue pill, whatever one it was.
The other one. I should have took the other pill. Yeah, it looks like we've both taken the same pill. But no, the fact is, you know, I mean, there have been instances where, you know, you think, oh man, this is just too hard, but then I can't go there and capitulate.
Yeah.
The fact is, I didn't in 20 days after my 18th birthday do nothing, but it came along much later. And I have a document I carry with me. It's a legal document, and even have it set up like a legal document. But the title of the document is Notice of Right to Travel and Declaration of Repentance. And just by that title, you can pretty much tell what the document is about. One, I have a right to travel. I'm notifying them of that, even though I'm not a driver. And my declaration of repentance states that I repent of all past participation in any numbering Mark of the Beast system, because I believe that God forgives. Now, the popular eschatology, the futurist left behind eschatology, says once you receive the mark, you're condemned forever. And so there's a good, with that belief, you know, that's a good motivation for denial of the Social Security number being a mark of a beast, or even the mark of the beast, because then by their own eschatology, they're condemned forever, and even they can't even repent of that. Of course, that's not a biblical stance, because I see that, you know, because they'll point to scriptures that says that everyone who had the mark and the name was cast into the lake of fire. But I also read in the scripture that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Well, I have to admit, I have lied. And I have to also admit that everyone I know has lied. So if all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, there must be some kind of exception. Otherwise, nobody's saved by the blood of the Lamb through repentance. But I know there's an exception for those that repent, and God's mercy even extends to those who have received and participated in the Mark of the Beast numbering system, because many have repented and many will repent. As a matter of fact, all of the elect, by the time this play is all done, by the time that Jesus returns, all of the elect will have repented of participation in the Mark of the Beast monetary system. What do you think of that?
I agree. And you mentioned driving and driving licenses.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you got one for your son. Tell me about that. And whatever else you're going
to
say.
My son wanted to do this, so he went down and got one, and he had to sign an affidavit saying he's never had a number, and he got a license without it. And for those who aren't familiar with the issue of driving, I have on my website an essay on driving, whether it's a right or a privilege.
Okay. The right to travel, yeah.
Yeah, the right to travel.
Because driving, if you're a driver, that means you're carrying cargo or passengers for hire, I believe, the legal definition.
Yes.
Okay, so your son, he had to have an affidavit. Now, I believe that you don't, if your affidavit says, see, that's why mine is a right to travel and declaration of repentance. Because there I'm standing on a religious liberty that says I did have one, so I can't swear that I never had one, but I can declare that I repented because it violates God's law, and my eternal position would be in jeopardy if I didn't repent, or if I went back and started to use it or used it again, that would be contrary to my repentance. So I carry my affidavit. That's my document, is my affidavit. The notice of right to travel and declaration of repentance is an affidavit because I put it in a legal form and carry it with me wherever I go. And the police, they just let me go when they stop me, and they talk with me. They even thank me when they're done with me. Usually for being so kind and forthcoming and not being belligerent or whatever. So they thank me for my demeanor when they let me go. So I'm happy with that. It's less hassle than actually having a driver's license and getting stopped and ticketed for whatever it is they stopped me for. But go ahead. We got a few minutes. I'm going to let you say whatever you want. What do you think like is most important for Christians to know about the Mark of the Beast and what you feel like God has shown you that His people need to do? I mean, you definitely have a message there, and you're definitely a Christian man.
Well, I don't have an agenda to talk about here.
Well, there's some reason you're writing all these books and essays.
Yes, why do I do this? Throughout all my life, when I get into trouble for things I didn't understand, I sit down and write. I guess it's in my blood or something. My mother's mother was a Quaker. Maybe it's genetic. My biggest problem is Christ's command to never swear an oath.
He said, let your yes be yes and your nay be nay. Something like that. So what does that mean to, what did he mean by to never swear an oath? To not bind yourself in the future by contract or something like that? What does that mean?
But Matthew 5:34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
So he seems to be indicating that you're not supposed to. I think he also said, don't say we will do this or we will do that, but if the Lord will. So he's saying don't make any promises about the future because you can't turn one hair white or black. And as you don't have control over the future, basically. Is that, I mean, in context, I'm trying to get the feel of this, where he's saying, don't swear, exactly what does that mean in the context? And that's something I perhaps need to study a little more into.
Yes, well, I wrote a book on the topic.
Ah, you wrote a book on the topic, okay.
Yes.
Well, that'd be handy. And it's called Oaths.
It's called Oaths. Mandatory or voluntary?
Okay, there it is. Oaths, man. Perhaps you could send me some copies of your stuff, and maybe we'd have more to talk about in the future.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd like to read everything. I already know about unlicensed marriage. I've been married 3 times, and never with a license. Of course, my last wife passed away, so I would never get a marriage license. And the census, I didn't take the census. I wrote on the census form how many people lived here, and then I sent it back to them. And that's all I wanted to tell them.
Yep.
That's how I handled the census. And some of these are interesting topics, like the history of family rights. All of these are very good and interesting topics. And perhaps we could get together maybe sometime in the future and cover one of these at a time in a show in the future. But these are all available at Stephen's website if you're interested in any of these topics. Plus he has a lot of essays down there that are available for free. So you can get a good example or a sample of what he's writing there or his writing style and what he writes about. But there's a lot of law involved here. And like I said, you know why the public schools did not want you to learn law, because they wanted to keep you stupid, because an informed people would not be so easily fooled. So your name of your website is appropriate. Do not be fooled by government. They get you to do things that are voluntary, things that you would not do if you knew that they were voluntary. A lot fewer people would do that, but most people think they're mandatory. And then getting people to be to sign up their children at birth is really, well, this whole system, Social Security and the fiat usury monetary system, has developed by a satanic conspiracy over the last hundreds of years. And even the people that are participating and adding to it perhaps have a little idea of what they're involved in. So anyway, I want to thank you, Stephen, for being on, and perhaps people will go to your website, contact you with questions or whatever, and perhaps we can get together in the future. But we should definitely keep talking to each other.
Yes.
Okay, you want to give out a email address or anything, or just you want them to go to the website and contact you there?
Yeah, you made a slight error there. It's not fooled by government, and you said do not be fooled by government.
Okay, it's notfooledbygovernment.com. Okay. All right, Stephen. Thank you so much for being on with us. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, getting to the end of the broadcast here. We do need your support here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com and AcrossTheBorder.org to keep doing the work we're doing. As you know, we're publishing and we're sending out copies of When the Third Temple is Built. If you haven't read it yet, and all of my, everyone in the chat room already read this book, right? How come only two reviews are on Amazon? Could you put the link to Amazon review in the chat room there, Michael? And for the number of books I've given away, I should have more than two reviews. And one of those reviews are by me. It's just telling people, this is a cool book. You should read it if you're at all interested in prophecy. And so I really only have one review, and I think Michael wrote, you wrote that review, didn't you, Michael? Make sure you do if you didn't. Anyway, that's about all we have time for today. There's nothing more important than walking in God's kingdom during your mortality. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. It's within your reach. It's within your grasp. So make sure that you're walking in it. And may the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's CrossTheBorder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's CrossTheBorder.org.